explain it to them so they would understand. Could you share one thing you think the kids would struggle with? Sure, everybody has sinned. And some kids don't think that they're sinners at first. So what would you...
Why I have sinned.
Yeah. And so what could you do to help them understand that?
I think we need to start from God.
Okay.
If you think from people's point of view, I mean, you're defining sin from people, human beings.
Yeah.
Then you will never get to the point.
Sure.
If you start from God, then you can talk about the purpose of God.
Right.
Is to, when He created, is glorify God, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta do what God, and talk about the purpose that God created you, and everything you do there, like whatever you think, whatever you do,
right?
That's missing the point.
Right.
Start from that direction, not from this direction.
Yeah. Also, if you start with a standard of perfection, then it makes it a lot better, or a lot more clear. If you start with humans, the standard might be to be a good person. But you want to start with that standard of total perfection, and there's no way we can meet that. Let me have someone from this group back here.
Yes, we're exactly very similar.
Okay.
She was asking, what can we reach little kids? And
right.
I understand that concept, so I was explaining to her that I used that analogy when in Easter time, about the death of Christ. It's I told the kids, okay, because they can understand, they say, we're good. Believe or not, the kids believe they are very good.
Right.
So I said, okay, like in the morning you wash your hands are very clean. During the day, when you go to eat, you don't have to wash your hands. And they said, yes, we have to wash our hands. I said, why? They look clean. They said, no, but they are dirty. I said, well, so how do you wash your hands with? And I said, mop. And they said, no. I said, milk? No. So I said, you wash with what? And, you know, they say, soap, water. So I said, good. I said, well, this is your heart. During the day, during the things that you do, a little dirty. And
sure.
And I just wipe it out on the board. Uh-oh, you did that. You answered wrong to your parents. So I marked it wrong. And I said, so how do you wash your heart? You cannot wash it with milk. You cannot wash it with mud. You cannot wash it with this. You wash it with the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's why you need the blood of Jesus to clean your heart. And it's kind of...
That's a great way. If to take that the next step, my hands look clean, but they might have germs on them that I can't see. And so with humans... You know, you might look at a person, they look like a good person, but there's sin inside their life.
Yeah, so you have to kind of, clean the context. So
exactly.
What age are the kids?
Great, great. How about this group up here?
We get the same point.
Really? Wow, okay.
We all start from teach the kids, we are all sinners. But what I feel there, the solution is good.
Good.
And also, I concern when you talk about perfection.
Uh-huh. The idea is that nobody can get to heaven unless they're perfect. If we can only go to heaven if we have no sin. And if we've done even one thing wrong, we are not eligible to go to heaven. If we're one thing wrong separates us from God. And so there's no way that we could get there on our own. Last year when I did this workshop, somebody had a really cool idea of explaining that Jesus was both human and He was God. And they thought of Superman. You guys know Superman? So he's the Man of Steel, but nobody necessarily knows that unless he's wearing his cape. So he's a person, but also he's like super powerful. I thought that was a neat way to explain that. Now, the wordless book or wordless whatever you use, you know, whatever in that series is a good way. There's a couple other things that I would like to commend to you. Here's another type of thing that CEF puts out. They make a lot of stories. This story is about beginnings. It's about the book of Genesis. Genesis doesn't talk specifically about Jesus. Genesis doesn't talk about the fact that Jesus died for our sins. That's not specifically until the New Testament. But there are elements of the stories in Genesis that are the same topics as here. So, for example, does Genesis talk about God? Does it? Of course. And so as you're teaching Genesis, you could be bringing out attributes of God. Does Genesis teach anything about sin? Yeah, sure does. Does Genesis teach anything about the results of sin? People sin and it affects other people? Yeah, definitely. Does it talk anything about, there's different elements. And so what I want to show you, I can't come all the way to you, but in the margins of this book, you can see little symbols, and I've drawn some up on the board. A heart with stuff inside, a cross, a clean heart. There's a grave, probably the grave, Jesus rising from the dead. And so as you're telling the story, you're bringing out elements of it that also relate to the gospel. And I just want to suggest that whenever we're teaching about anything, if we see an element that's somehow related to the gospel, we want to put it out there. And it's okay to go off track just a little bit from your main lesson, and if it's going to eventually help them understand the gospel better. Now, you may not give the whole gospel presentation every week, but let's say that this week you are able to talk a little bit about who is God and what's he like. The next week, maybe the story talks a little bit about sin and the results of sin. Maybe the next week is talking about sacrifices in some kind of a capacity, and you're able to bring that out. Well, over the course of a month, then they're going to be exposed to all these elements of the gospel. And so on the bottom here, I've got some examples of how to do that. Point out God's attributes as you tell about what he's said or what he's done. That's throughout the whole Bible. And so they're constantly developing their perspective of who God is. Point out sin as you study stories of people making mistakes. Okay? These are corresponding to the five colors. But there are other ways to share the gospel too. If you turn to the back, there are posters, there are diagrams, there are flannel graph, and you may be familiar with these already. This one I've got up on the screen is the bridge illustration. You guys familiar with that? Over on this side, we've got people who are here. We are separated from God over here. And I drew God like this because of the idea of light. Around in this building, it talks a lot about light, and God wraps himself in light, as with the garments. So I thought that looks kind of like light. So we're separated, and people are trying different things to get to God. And so what you would do is you would draw a line kind of like this to show that we're trying to get to God, but nothing is successful. For example, trying to be a good person, trying to give money to the church, trying to read the Bible, trying to do all these things, but none of that is going to get us to God. There's only one way that we could connect to God, and it's not through us trying to get to Him, it's through Him trying to get to us. And so there's like a bridge, and that bridge is Jesus, and then what you could do is you would draw a vertical line so it looks like a cross. So you'd say, like, Jesus is the bridge. He came from heaven. He came down to our level. But also, he paid for our punishment. Our punishment is to spend eternity in hell. And so he paid that punishment for us. And so now we are able to come over and have a relationship with God. This is really hard to do on Microsoft Paint, but I didn't have good enough dry erase markers. Here's another kind of thing that I've seen helpful. Is to draw three circles. That's not a circle, but it's close to it. Oh boy, that's a bean. So I've got three circles, and then in this circle, I'm going to write the letter C. And in this circle, I'm going to write the letter C plus W. And in this circle, I'm going to type the letter W. And this is probably a little bit better for adults. But the question is, what are you trusting in to get to heaven? You have three choices. Everybody falls into one of these categories. You're trusting in Christ, alone, which is here. You're trusting in Christ plus works, which is here, anything good that you do, or you're trusting in works by himself. And this is kind of a quick way to see where somebody's at. So, and there's other ways, you know, posters or diagrams or flannograph, whatever you might be able to find that would communicate it visually is good. Using good vocabulary is a good way to share the gospel. Make sure they understand the words that you're saying. Now, you might talk about some big word like redemption. Is it okay to use a big word with kids? It's kind of a trick question. Is it okay to use big theological words with kids?
It depends with kids. You have kids that they are better than you.
Okay.
I'm a person, so sometimes those guys know better words than me.
Sure. Is it okay? Let me rephrase it then. Is it okay to use a word that kids don't know? It is if you define it.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you just use it and don't tell them what it means, then they're lost. But it's okay to use a big word if you can define it so they understand it. But number four, I think, is probably the most important, is let the children see the difference that God has made in your life. And that takes time. That's not something you can do in one presentation. It just takes time through building relationships with them. So, for example, sharing your testimony with them. You might be able to share your testimony with one kid. You're talking, hey, let me tell you what God's done in my life. Or you have the opportunity to share with a whole class. Hey, that's cool. Testimonies are a powerful way. And also the last way is to live your life in such a way that they see the evidence of the Holy Spirit living and working inside of you. And let me tell you, that's not just one of the many strategies to sharing the gospel. This is probably a prerequisite to anything else. Because if you could be communicating the gospel in the best, clearest possible way. But if they don't see the difference that it's made in our lives, then it may not look that attractive to them either. So I just wanted to give you that to think about. A few other tips to sharing the gospel, and then we'll do a closing activity. Pray for the children. Obviously, is pray for them before, after you share the gospel. Building a relationship. That's important with any evangelism. Any evangelism. You want to get to know who they are. Get to know their strengths and their interests. If you can find out what they like, find out things that they're good at, then while you're sharing the gospel, you can talk about the things that they like and bring it into the story of presentation. So, for example, sin, the Bible defines sin as missing the mark. And so if they like basketball, you could use a basketball analogy. Let's say you have the hoop over here and you're standing 10 feet away. Do you think you could make it? Yes. Do you think you could make it every time? Probably not. What if you're standing 25 feet away? Could you make the basket every time? If you're standing 100 feet away, could you make the basket every time? Probably not. Or definitely not. And that's missing the mark. So you can use that to explain it to them a little bit better. Number four, I already said this, giving concrete examples of sin. Five, I've already said as well. Six, using a Bible to read the key verses. And that's something we didn't do in this workshop, but using key verses that show this isn't from me, this is from God. This is God's Word, where it talks about who He is. It talks about sin. It talks about Jesus raising from the dead. One frustration I have had in my life is when people take one verse from here, and one verse from here, and one verse from here, and put it all together. And that's usually what I see happen with the gospel. And so there was a point in my life where I was thinking, okay, this verse says this, and this verse says this, and they're putting it together to tell me that there's this gospel. I seriously was questioning, does the gospel really exist? Or are they just making it look like this by taking all these verses and putting them together? And I was so excited when I started to find passages that told the entire gospel within one passage. Kind of like we started with Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Also, Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's good, but normally I just hear that one verse. But if you look at the whole passage, it tells the whole gospel right there. In fact, I don't know why we only stop at verse 23. Because here's what 23 and 24 say. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace. That's awesome. You've got the whole gospel in those two verses, but if you look five verses before to a couple of verses after, it tells all about the separation and everything. Personally, I love when passages are like that. So you could use those kinds of passages, or you could use other passages. You know, maybe there are different verses that do express the same truth. Think about Jesus. John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And so you could use that and draw out different parts. God's one and only Son, okay, well, He's the Son of God. Will the people who believe in Him will not perish. Well, let's talk about that. Why would they perish? What have we done wrong, and what does it mean to perish? And then the idea of having eternal life, I mean, you can really bring out some highlights from those verses. And then number six, be ready to connect the child. I'm sorry, number seven. Be ready to connect the child with a discipleship program to help them grow. That's another frustration I have, is when children become a Christian, but they don't get the chance to grow because nobody's discipling them. I've showed one of you the baptism material that we have. We have some baptism books that we buy. And it's a class that they go through 4 weeks. We call it a baptism class, but really it's kind of a discipleship introduction class. First week, what's the gospel? What's it mean to be a Christian? Second week is the ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism. Third week is what is the church? And fourth week is how do I spend time with God, reading the Bible and praying? And I love that curriculum because it's an introduction to what does it mean to grow as a believer in the green. All right? Any questions about all of that? Or thoughts? Maybe I forgot something. Anything else that's helpful? No? Then I want to close with offering you some of the resources that I've promised you. The Sunday school curriculum that we have used is on the back table. You are welcome to take what's there, both the teacher's manuals and also the worksheets. Feel free to take that to your church if you're looking for a good curriculum to use. Also, these yellow handbooks on the back table. This is the teacher's handbook. I'm sorry. The children's ministry handbook that I wrote for our church. And if your church is interested in having a handbook for training, you're welcome to take one as a sample. If you want the electronic copy, I can email that to you. And then feel free to stay and ask me any other questions if you want. On the resource page, I wrote my email address. So if you or someone at your church would just like to ask me a question, feel free to email me. And I look forward to seeing you next year at the MCC retreat. And I look forward to seeing, when we get to heaven, I look forward to seeing the children whose lives that we have impacted. So, we are done. Thanks again for coming. Have a great day.
Thank you.